Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. And today is a very special day because tomorrow is the Hollywood premiere of a new documentary film about toxic chemical exposure. And it's really, really good. I've watched it twice, in fact. And this filmmaker who is with us today has put together a very complex subject into something that is extremely easy to watch and understand. And I would just say that he's done such a good job with this that I would just tell everybody, just watch this film for 120 minutes and, or 1 hour and 20 minutes it is. And then go directly to my website because this film tells you all the reasons why you should be doing everything that I've been talking about people should be doing for the last 30 years. And this is just the perfect introduction to anybody. I mean, if you know all about toxic chemicals and you want to introduce somebody to this subject, this would be the perfect thing to have them watch. If you know all about toxic chemicals and you want to learn more about the bigger picture, this would be the perfect film to watch. It just is excellent, excellent, excellent. And I'm so happy to have the filmmaker on today. This is Ed Brown. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Deborah. What an amazing introduction. Thank you so much. I'm honored.
You're welcome. You did a great job. You just did a great job. And I listened to it, for the listeners to know, I watched the film a few months ago and I wanted to have Ed on then, but there was other stuff going on and the film wasn't released at the time. But, now the film is being released tomorrow and I watched it again today and I loved it just as much today because it's a documentary film, but it really tells the story of Ed and his curiosity and his concern about what's going on with the toxic chemicals in the world. And he interviews the top people in the field. Well, I didn't get interviewed, but no, the thing is though, I'm not a top person in the world about what are the toxic problems. I'm a top person in the world about what are the solutions, what are the non-toxic solutions. And what Ed did was that he went and interviewed all the people who can tell you the story of what is the problem. And it's just an exceptional statement of what is the problem. Anyway, Ed, tell us. I'm going to let you talk. I'm not going to talk through the whole show.
No, I love hearing you talk. I'd like to hear, you know, I think I'm incredibly boring compared to you, as a matter of fact.
Well, I was not bored with your film for 1 second. I want to hear about, you tell in the film your story about what led you to be interested in doing this. So if you would just tell us that would be great.
Of course. And I'd like to say you are one of the top people out there, obviously working on solutions. And you are one of the key elements to absolutely solving this problem, which is monumental across the board. And I just want to stress that fact, and I'm sure all your listeners know that, and I'm, of course, spreading the word every single day about you and your work. So,
thank you.
For myself, you know, this film, like everyone else, our lives all tell a story, whether it's going to be on a movie screen or whether it's to our family members or our friends. I just happen to have a camera, and I started looking into this issue. My wife had 2 miscarriages out of 3 pregnancies. And quite frankly, I believe the doctors, whenever we had our both miscarriages, and they said, we didn't know why this happened. Nature had taken its course. It's probably for the best, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so after the second one, she had a procedure, which is a DNC. And it was right after that that I got really angry. Not at the doctors, not at anyone in particular, but I got mad thinking, you know, what's really going on? I keep hearing the same thing. Everybody is sick. I don't know anyone who isn't on some kind of medication. Everybody has some kind of chronic illness. I mean, I think we all agree that we all know somebody who has cancer.
Yes.
And I started thinking, you know, maybe there's something connected here. Maybe there are some dots here that I'm missing. And it turns out that I started doing some research and I started to learn a little bit more about what was really going on, and then I realized that there are so many dots that people haven't been able to connect. So I just took it upon myself to learn more about this subject that affects every single human being on this planet every single day, no matter what your financial status, no matter what your race or your religion or your age or your sex. It affects everyone equally, and no one, and what I found out is that no one lives a healthier or better life with so many toxic chemicals inside of the body. So ultimately, that's why I took this journey myself.
Yes, well, I agree with everything that you said, and what I found for myself was that when I did all the research that you did, but at the time in 1978 when I started, we didn't have as much information as we have today. We didn't have all those organizations and all the people that are working on it that you interviewed. Nobody, I don't think any of them were doing it in 1978. And so I had much less to work with when I started researching. But what it became really clear to me, and as you state at the end of the film, that we all need to do something for ourselves. I mean, you go through, in the film, you go through talking about toxic chemicals in water and food and personal care products and all these different things. And you also talk about how our laws do not protect us from these things. And when you try to change at a regulatory level, there's lobbyists and people who are opposing that. You talk about our healthcare system. And the thing about healthcare is that doctors, you can go to so many doctors who don't even recognize that toxic chemicals are the basic cause of most of the illnesses that most of us are having. So even, and to go to a doctor and get a drug, well, you don't say this in the film, but I'm going to say it. To go to the doctor and get a drug does not solve the problem of toxic chemicals in your body or in the environment. It just puts another toxic chemical in your body. And so we need to have this massive reorientation of every part of society to understand that this is a problem that all of us are experiencing, all of us are being harmed by, and all of us together need to change it.
I couldn't agree more. And by the way, Deborah, I was only 3 years old whenever you started looking into this problem. I wish I could have been a part of it ever since then, but I mean, let's think about it. I mean, you've been looking into it for that long, and other people have recognized it as well, but you've been incredibly influential in taking on this fight. And that's what your viewers, I'm sure, know, and I think, and your listeners, I think that they really need to understand across the board that this is everyone's problem. It's not going away anytime soon. And yeah, whenever you get sick, hopefully you don't. But if you get sick, you go into a doctor's office. What they're not trained at is prevention. What they don't know a lot about is anything about toxic chemicals. Well, you know, maybe they know a little bit. But for the most part, what they're really, really great at is treating symptoms of a problem. They're not really great at getting into the root of the issue. And so, you know, the healthcare industry has, they have to, reprioritize a lot of different ways of doing things. I think they'll, over the course of the next 20 or 30 years, I think they'd have to. I hope, at least.
Well, there are now. I mean, 30 years ago, there weren't, I mean, most of the doctors were just regular medical doctors. And over the past 30 years, there's been new fields coming out, like functional medicine and things like that. And there are a lot of doctors now that are kind of alternative or MDs who have said, wait a minute, I need to do something else. And they go off and say, well, let's look at toxic chemicals. Let's look at natural modalities. Let's look at nutrition. And like I work with a doctor who is a chiropractor by training, that's how he gets his doctor status. But he has trained himself in all kinds of other things. And he completely agrees with me that we need to reduce toxic chemical exposure and we need to get adequate nutrition. Most people don't get enough nutrition in order to have their detox systems and their bodies working. And that it's simple things like this. Oh, wait, we need to take a break. I'm talking to you instead of watching the time. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is filmmaker Ed Brown. We're talking about his new film, Unacceptable Levels, which is opening tomorrow in Hollywood. And you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and scroll down the page, and you'll see a little banner ad for his movie. If you click on that, you can order your own copy or rent it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is filmmaker Ed Brown. He's the creator of the new film, Unacceptable Levels, which is all about our exposure to toxic chemicals and what's going on in the world. It premieres tomorrow in Hollywood. You can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com today and pre-order by clicking on the banner. Scroll down till you see Ed's nice smile. And below that, there's a banner ad that says Unacceptable Levels. You can click on that. And I guess tomorrow, then, there's access to the film. Is that correct, Ed?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, tomorrow everybody with an internet connection will be able to access the film anywhere at any time, as long as you have a smartphone or a tablet, even smart TVs. So yeah, you can access it just about anywhere.
Yeah,
tomorrow. So it's exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. So, tell us what it was like to go on this, was it a two-year journey? You were, traveled around and you interviewed people. What was that experience like?
That was a challenge, to put it lightly. I didn't have a crew. It was just me and my camera and my tripod. And I'm staying in a lot of different places all over the world by myself for the most part was difficult. You know, I was working at a restaurant, waiting tables, which you'll see in the film. That's where it all started for me. I was waiting tables, and I only had one day a week to film because the restaurant was closed on a Monday. So I really had to scramble during the week, making phone calls and trying to set up as many interviews as I could if I needed to go to a particular area, because I really didn't have a lot of money to use either. So, yeah, it had inherently some troubles. So when you try to embark on, you know, a film and you're doing it all by yourself, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of pitfalls headed your way and a lot of roadblocks. You know, but hopefully I was able to navigate my way through that. So principal photography took about 2 years, and then it took another 2 years to finish editing it and honing it and really working the story into what you're about to see. So, yeah, it was about a four-year process. So I think I've earned some kind of honorary degree somehow, I hope. And I don't know what it would be in chemistry or filmmaking, but I hope somebody can give me something for this. I'm just joking.
Well, I will at least acknowledge you, because I know what it's like to be one person wanting to make a difference, because I've been doing everything that I do without any funding, without any organizations, just being one person too.
Yeah.
So I really honor you for doing that, and I understand the feeling that you must have had of seeing what was wrong and then saying, wait, I need to tell other people, because that's what happened to me too. Once I got sick and I discovered what was making me sick, I said, wait, this whole thing could have been avoided if somebody had just told me there were toxic chemicals out there, and they were in my products, and they were in the food, and they were in my perfume, and in my water, and in my bed, and in my body. That if somebody had just told me that, I could have done something to prevent being sick. And nobody was talking about it, and so I had to do that. And I did it all alone, just like you did it all alone. And I think that a lot of people who are very effective in this world have done things all alone. And I totally commend you for deciding to do it and continuing to do it and bringing this information to people who need to have it.
I certainly appreciate that. And Deborah, your story is much more harrowing than my own. I will always say that. And your perseverance shines through every single day. And, you know, for all of us, if I would have failed, if I would have stopped, I mean, you know, there were a lot of desperate times financially for myself. I had two kids and my wife to try to take care of as best I could. And, you know, there were a lot of very, very challenging instances where I felt like it was just, we weren't going to make it to the finish line, but I knew that I had to. I knew I had to see it for myself to the end, and I needed, you know, a lot of wherewithal and a lot of dedication to this from a lot of people that kept encouraging me to keep going. And their strong will really helped me to make it to the end as well. And if I didn't make it, if I failed to do that, this information wouldn't be available tomorrow to everybody across the globe. And we all need it. And that's the point.
We do all need it, but everyone needs to understand you did such a great job of starting at the beginning and showing how we got to where we are today and showing how that after World War II in the mid-40s there had been all these chemists available working on the chemical warfare of World War II, that they had developed new things, and now what are you going to do with all the chemists? And there were cheap raw materials in the form of oil, and they just started making things. And all these new substances and all these new products, and there was money available and people were buying them, and it seemed like this, you know, wonderful new world. And yet there was this dark side that didn't start being apparent until some years later. And now it's very, very clear from the evidence, the scientific evidence, that these chemicals are toxic, and all of us are being affected. All of us need to do something about it. And you really show that in a, I don't want to say entertaining way, because it's not a entertaining subject, but
that's
you know,
I can see how delicate you're trying to put it. And I can appreciate that, because you wouldn't want to make it seem like this is entertaining, but you have to have that value in a film to get people to reciprocate. If you make it just factually based, it could be completely boring, and people would get turned off, and then you're not able to make any kind of a difference with the subject material that you're using.
Well, I would say it's certainly you've presented it in an accessible way, and a way that is not dry and boring at all.
Yeah.
And you've interspersed it with humor. And, you know, my publicist once said, David Letterman wanted to have you on his show, but he couldn't think of anything funny to say about toxics. And so I wasn't on David Letterman, but you actually came up with some clips of people making jokes about toxic substances. And so the way you put it together, you took a subject that can be difficult to understand, difficult to listen to, and at times horrifying, and you made it very human. And
Thank you.
I just want people to understand that if you like hear this word documentary about toxic chemicals, that you don't think that this is going to be something boring that you don't want to watch. It is something that you want to watch, and something that you want to share with your family and friends and coworkers, because everybody needs to have this information. Everybody needs to have the truth about the world that we live in so that we can do something about it. We're going to take another break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is filmmaker Ed Brown, who made Unacceptable Levels. It's opening tomorrow in Hollywood. You can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com right now and during the break and click on the banner ad to pre-order your copy. You can buy it or you can rent it, and it'll be available tomorrow. We'll be right back. Be productive and happy. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is filmmaker Ed Brown, who made the new film Unacceptable Levels, which opens tomorrow. And Ed, I want to ask you a two-part question. Here's the first question. What did you find most horrifying in your research? Like, what was the thing that said, this is just, like, unacceptable?
Well, I mean, where to start, right?
But what was the thing that, like, really got you emotionally?
Well, you know, I always go back to the more disgusting one, and that's toxic sludge. That's the one thing that blew me away. You know, I just couldn't understand, so toxic sludge
or sewage treatment plant. Just give us the details about toxic sludge.
Yeah. So toxic sludge, our sewer system, our human sewer system, was designed in a particular way to collect everything that gets flushed down the toilet. And so everything that goes down there, we collect it, it's dried, and then what do you do with it? It doesn't magically disappear. It doesn't magically just go away, which this is something that just, again, blew me away because it's something I never really thought about. It's out of sight, out of mind. It's not my fault anymore. It's completely gone, right? Well, whenever I found out that our sewage treatment systems collect this stuff, it's dried, and then it's transported. They don't take it to the moon. They don't take it and dump it in the ocean. And it's extremely toxic. It's called toxic sludge because of all of the contaminants that go down into our sewage treatment systems, which are pharmaceutical drugs. We have heavy metals. We have all kinds of pesticides, other contaminants and stuff like that. So all this stuff is collected. It's not magically disinfected. They don't do anything to change the matter itself. And then, they take it and transport it onto our farmland, and it's called biosolids. So it goes from being called toxic sludge, and they did some regulatory magic, and then they renamed it biosolids, which sounds much nicer than toxic sludge. But anyway, they take it, and so we have 60% of our farmland being fertilized by this stuff. And to think that plants are being grown out of this stuff and farm animals are going to be eating it, and it's kind of bizarre, the scenario, but that is the situation we find ourselves.
Well, you know, it actually is traditional. Like, we put manure of animals on farmland, and that's considered to be a good organic practice. And way before, all throughout history, there, both animal and human manure has been used to fertilize the land. But what the part that is different nowadays is that all the toxic chemicals that we're exposed to, that we eat, that we breathe, that we drink, that we put on our skin, gets eliminated through our intestines. And so then when you take that material that is the toxic waste of our bodies being eliminated, and then you put that on the farmland, that's not the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. I still find the marketing of this to be fascinating, because if they just called it happy human waste or something like that, it doesn't change the product. It just changes your mindset as to how you view it. And that's what they did, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, the second half of the question is, I want to ask you, what did you learn that gave you the greatest hope?
That there are so many amazing people, just like yourself, Deborah, out there working every single day, not just to educate, but to make the world a better place. That might sound cliched and that might sound hokey, but I've met so many amazing people, and I've worked with so many amazing organizations, so many amazing companies that are at the forefront of this problem that have been taking it on for decades. And that should give everybody a high degree of hope that with so many great people out there struggling every single day to take on the biggest challenge we've ever faced as a human civilization, and we should have more every single day joining in this along with each other and holding hands and working together to do this. Again, it might sound cliche, but it's not. These are people that take this issue extremely seriously, and we all have a very, very deep responsibility to the next generation to do everything we can to make their lives better than we had it. And I have three children now. I had two at the time whenever I finished the movie, and that's what they deserve from us. And looking in their faces and looking at their smile, and making them understand that I'm here in every single way, as all parents do, I'm sure. And you know, they give me hope, and all the people working out there in this facility really give me hope as well.
I find that every day when on this radio show, I am interviewing people around the world who are doing things to make the world safer, and they're working at every level, from retailers and manufacturers to regulations, everything. And it just is, I don't feel like we talked earlier about each of us being one person doing something by ourselves. But we're not. I mean, we're one person, but we're part of a much bigger picture of all these other individuals on the planet that are working towards having a less toxic world or a non-toxic world, a toxic-free world. Because sometimes I stop and think, we have so much information about this, so much knowledge about how to live toxic-free, and we can see it if you know where to look. You can see it all around, and that's what I keep trying to show people. Look here, look there. Because you can make these toxic-free choices. It exists for you. It's right here today. And yet there's still so many people who don't even know that there's a problem.
That's a fact. And I live in central Pennsylvania. I wouldn't exactly call it the Mecca for green living and toxic-free lifestyles or anything like that. And I think that gave me a viewpoint that was completely necessary for this story to be told. If I grew up and lived in San Francisco, I think it would be much different. I mean, it's an accepted way of life, and people are quite educated on that issue out there. But this is a film that needs to and has to ultimately reach the individuals who have no idea that this is happening. It's not to say that everybody that's been working in this field can't use reinforcement. I mean, I am going to suggest that as well. But I would say that the people like my parents, people like my friends, who don't have any idea that this is a problem, and may not over the course of their lifetime unless something really bad happens to them, and they look into it themselves. I mean, that's where this comes down to. And nobody's average. And I know we never say that average people need this information, but everybody does.
Everybody needs it. Absolutely. Yeah. We need to go to another break, but we'll be right back. My guest today is filmmaker Ed Brown, who created the new film Unacceptable Levels. It opens tomorrow in Hollywood, and you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, click on the banner ad for Unacceptable Levels, and you can pre-order it. You'll get it tomorrow. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd. My guest today is filmmaker Ed Brown, who created the new film Unacceptable Levels. And I'll just say once more, because this is the last segment of the show, and I know we're going to just keep talking right to the end, is you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, scroll down the page, and you'll see the banner ad for Unacceptable Levels. Just click on it. You can order a rental. You can order the film itself. You can, and it will be available tomorrow. And, you know, I think it would be a great idea to invite your friends over, talk about it, watch it together, talk about what all you can do, what each of you are doing already to be less toxic. Just really help each other, your friends and neighbors, to be able to live in a less toxic way. And if you need some information about that, you can listen to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You can go to my website, go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. Go up to the top. There's a whole menu of things that you can find on my site, including if you click on shop, there's more than 500 websites selling toxic-free products of all kinds. You can go to the Q&A. You can go to the search box, which is the little thing that looks like a magnifying glass, and type in any product that you're looking for, and you'll probably get something. There's books that you can read. There's a blog about how you can detox toxic chemicals out of your body. There's just so much information. It's like, watch the film, and Ed will inspire you to do something, and then you can go to my website and find out how to do something. That's how these two things fit together.
I love it.
Go ahead.
No, I think it's great. I mean, that's exactly the progression people should go through. You need to educate yourself about it and then have a solution lined up for it as well. And a plan.
So, Ed, I just want to tell you that you're breaking up a little. I'm wondering if... the producer can call you back. But let's just continue.
Am I still here?
Yeah. You're still breaking up, but I want to have people hear what you're saying. Oh, my producer is. Right. Oh, he says that you sound fine in the studio. Let's just keep going on. It's maybe just my receiving end that is breaking up. Okay, so tell us some things that you did in your life to be less toxic as a result of you doing this research.
Well, you know, one of the first things I started doing was I changed the crib mattress that the kids were sleeping on. That was really, really important. Why? Because a child will sleep on a crib mattress, you know, 8, 10 to 15 hours every single day. Flame retardants and other chemicals will be going straight into their bodies as they're breathing. And so that's one of the first things I always try to say to other parents as well. Try changing that. And I also changed my cleaning products. You know, every time you spray a particular surfactant, it might have an antimicrobial agent into it and stuff like that. You're inhaling it. You're putting it onto your skin, depending on what you're cleaning or how you're cleaning. And, you know, ultimately, I needed to do that too, so I changed that. And now I just use white vinegar and rubbing alcohol to clean everything with. It's cheaper and it's effective. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, when it comes to food, we don't eat anything but organic. And that's to me a really smart way of eliminating a lot of toxins that get into us every single day. So you got to think about what you're breathing, what you're drinking, what you're eating, I mean, and how you're sleeping. Those are really the four areas. If you can make changes there quickly, a water filtration system is of the utmost importance. There's over 260 contaminants in every single drop of water that's coming from the tap. And that's not to say that it's horrifically bad, and it's not to say the bottled water is any better. I'm just sitting back and saying they have to disinfect it and stuff like that. I understand it, but you need to get a water filtration system that's going to take out the disinfectants and whatnot. So, and other trace contaminants that pass through our municipal water facility. So, you know, you think about what you're doing, you know, what are you breathing, what are you eating, what are you drinking, how are you sleeping. Those four areas, you make those concerted efforts, take small steps if you need to, take big leaps if you'd like to, and then you'll find that over the course of 5-10 years, you may have avoided a lot of struggle in your body. And, you know, it's just ultimately better for everybody like this, and especially young kids starting out at a very young age.
It is ultimately better. And I know a lot of times people think, like, especially they'll watch your film and they may say, oh, everything's toxic. Well, it is,
you know,
and it isn't. It is and it isn't. And so there are things that are more toxic, for example, like cleaning products are a big toxic category of products, and pesticides are a big category. And if you do something like, and your bed is a big toxic category, if you change any of those things, you are, and use the less toxic ones, the ones like instead of a polyurethane foam mattress, you sleep on an organic cotton mattress, or like I have an organic wool mattress. If you make that kind of change, that it may be that your life is not now 100% toxic free, but it's less toxic, and you just keep making it less and less and less. And what I found in myself and others over the years is that, you, especially if you have some kind of illness or chronic condition, there's such a chance that it's related to toxic chemicals that as you reduce your toxic chemical exposure, you should be feeling better and better and better. And even if we don't get to 100% zero toxics, everybody can reduce the amount of toxics that they're exposed to enough to make a significant difference in your health. That has been shown over and over and over again. And if you just start with the things that you're exposed to at home, then it can make a huge difference, just a huge difference.
You're absolutely right. I'd always echo that sentiment that taking steps, again, small steps, budgetary-minded steps, and always, you know, moving in that direction. You know, you'll find that small incremental changes will have a huge impact.
It will. It will. So we only have about 4 minutes left. Is there anything that you want to say that we haven't talked about?
Of course, there's a lot of things I'd love to talk about. I'm just fascinated by one of your ads, by the way, thinking about what it would take to eat 35 cloves of garlic, and if I could do that every single day. And I think that'd be a tough one. I don't know why I was fixated on that, listening to it, thinking, man, I bet that'd be tough. But, you know, I think, you know, what we're doing, whenever it comes to toxic chemicals, the one thing that and I'm not chastising the industry, and I'm not chastising scientists that want to not believe that this is such a big deal. But, you know, whenever they're studying something, let's just say a blueberry. One blueberry has 42 trace contaminants of pesticides on it. Some of those are neurotoxins. Some of those are carcinogens. Some of those are reproductive problems. You know, that's one blueberry. Let's just say you really like blueberries, and you eat a handful of them. And let's just say you really like tomatoes and strawberries as well, and you like to eat a lot of those every single day. And if you just make a change in those and go organic with just some of those really soft-skinned fruits and vegetables, you'll find that your body will reciprocate. And that's where we get a lot of the payload from pesticides and organophosphates and stuff like that and other issues that are related to the food that we're eating. Like insecticides and fungicides and avicides and stuff like that. So, you know, think about it for a second. This is a great analogy I always use to everybody. If you had two tomatoes, both of those were organic, and you watched somebody take one of those tomatoes and they sprayed Raid all over it, even if they washed it off really, really well, would you want to eat it? Most people say no. And I always sit back and say, well, what's the difference between a farmer doing that in a field multiple times over the course of its growth to seeing that in front of your face? So it's really still the out of sight, out of mind mentality needs to be changed. And that's why I want to try to encourage people to embrace, you know, even if it's made and manufactured and all that stuff, and you don't see any of that happening. That's the whole point of this film. Just like The Wizard of Oz, you're pulling the curtain back. You know, you don't see any of this kind of stuff happening over here. And that's what this film tries to expose, and it's exposing our exposures. And I really hope everybody enjoys it. I hope everybody goes to your website, clicks on the banner link, and watches it tomorrow when it goes live. And again, Deborah, you made a great point sharing it with your friends and family, and getting the conversation moved in the right direction is ultimately going to be our salvation. Across the board, it'll do everybody a great deal of good to change the way we've been doing things. Absolutely.
Yes, I completely agree. You know, you were talking about the out of sight, out of mind, and I have a friend who gives talks about things toxic, and one of the things that he does is he brings a can of pesticide with him, and he holds up an apple, and he said, "Now I'm going to spray this with pesticides," and people go, "No."
and
they don't, you know, if you spray a pesticide on an apple right in front of somebody, they will not eat it. And yet they are spraying those same pesticides on the apples in the orchard, and then it's coming to you. Anyway, I need to say thank you so much, because we're about to be done with the show. I need to just say thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for doing what you've done. And I hope that a lot of people watch the film and talk about it, and that it just opens the door for so many more people to know about this. I'm Deborah Lindat.
Absolutely. The pleasure was all mine.
Thank you. I'm Deborah Lindat. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Remember to go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and click on the banner ad and get your copy of the film. Unacceptable levels.